There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
My character, George, had gone undercover because there'd been a murder in a girls' boarding school or something as a life model for the art class in this girls' school. And so the art class was, like, I don't know, like a dozen 17-year-old girls in their 1920s school uniform. And I was naked. And they were drawing me in this life class. And obviously the start at which she was sitting in on it. So I was sort of sat there in my something like my sort of Rodin thinker pose or something, and in a robe. And then when they were filming wide shots and shots of me, I'd take the robe off. And all I had was what they call like a little modesty patch, where it's a little sort of triangle of ointment coloured felt or something, some fabric. And with a kind of toupee tape, they would stick it in the relevant area to cover the gentleman's department. And obviously for a man of, I don't know what, I was in my late 30s, I suppose, they sat there with all these 17-year-old girls, and it was, you know, mortifying for me. I mean, it's quite sort of embarrassing for them, but it's mortifying for me. It was just shaming. It was an awful, awful, embarrassing, humiliating situation, which Diana found hilarious from the start, obviously.
Now, I don't talk about this often, but when I was in my 20s, I was a life model. It's an incredibly vulnerable position to be in. You're exposed, and it's cold, and you get stiff or numb depending on the position you're stuck in. It's not sexy, like Rose on the Titanic. This may sound odd to you, but think about how everyone on that set felt. The camera people, the costume people, sound engineers, all the crew, and the actors. It's not a small audience. And this was 1998. Intimacy coordinators were not even thought of. Neil Dudgeon is an experienced actor, and he was nothing less than a consummate professional on the set of the Mrs. Bradley mysteries, especially in front of his castmate, Dame Diana Rigg.
But then as the day goes on, you know, every time they say cut, somebody from the costume department runs in and throws the dressing gown over you to hide your shame and modesty. And gradually everybody relaxes to the point where I just say, oh, don't bother running in and out with a robe. It's too boring taking it on and putting it off. Just, I'll sit here. It's all right. And then we went on and we did another take and another cut. And then somebody from the wardrobe department ran in again with the robe. And I said, oh, no, really, there's no need. Don't bother. They said, no, they sort of leaned to my ear and whispered to me and said, no, Neil, it's not the robe. It's your modesty patch fell off about 20 minutes ago. It's on the floor. And I looked down and the modesty patch was on the floor and everything was, you know, all kind of terribly visible to all these girls who were all being terribly straight-faced and looking me in the eye as they're trying to sketch me in the scene. And I thought, oh, my God, this. Just when you think it's got as humiliating as it could possibly be, it gets yet more humiliating. Well, again, Diana, of course, just laughed her head off about this and thought this was the funniest thing she'd ever seen.
There ain't nothing like a dame. It's not a title given lightly. It's earned. And Diana Rigg is no exception. Her strength, elegance, and wit touched millions of people around the world. Welcome to A Life Lived. I'm Stephanie Okupniak. before she became synonymous with a catsuit, the auburn-haired, dark-eyed Avenger was born Ina Diana Elizabeth Rigg on July 20th, 1938. Her father, Louis, was a mechanical engineer, and when she was 2 months old, his work took the family to Jodhpur in India. When she was 8, she was sent to a boarding school for girls in Buckinghamshire, and from there to Fulnick Girls' School in Pudsey near Leeds, where she was, by her own account, quite unhappy. She said classes were incredibly boring. She took to dreaming, and they took to punishing her. A teacher saw her struggle and wanted to inspire her, so they pointed her in the direction of the stage. After graduation, she applied to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, despite her parents' objections. But the lectures and the movement classes didn't tickle her fancy as much as some of her fellow classmates. In 1959, she joined the Royal Shakespeare Company in Stratford-upon-Avon and began performing in productions the following year. She traveled the world with the company and lived on very meager earnings. It was a time of freedom for the young actress who had just been named the most promising newcomer by Plays and Players.
She brought to characters a sort of steeliness and a strength, and obviously a beauty and a flirtatiousness and a sexiness. I can't think of any of her characters that I saw her playing where you would thought, oh, she's a character that's going to get mucked about by anybody. She's going to be messed around by somebody. She carried with her that great intelligence and strength and perception.
I was with the Royal Shakespeare Company for 5 years and I would sort of work my way up to play leads. I left because I sensed I had to broaden myself. I didn't want just to be a Shakespearean actress. And the world of television was there, sort of beckoning in a way, and I was incredibly lucky to get an audition and to get the part.
Give me the gun.
Back up.
Give me the gun.
Friend of the podcast, Herbie J. Pilato, was first introduced to Dame Diana Rigg watching her high kicks and quick quips on a British spy show so popular that episodes still run regularly today.
Well, back in the day, I just thought, you know, because I was an Avengers fan, and I caught the show in reruns like most people kind of sort of my age. I was still too young to see it when ABC brought it to TV here in America in the 60s. But I just thought it was just the Avengers in general was just so different, even amid all the other different shows of the 60s. It was like, what is going on here? It was off the wall. It was unique, right down to the camera angles and the lighting. I had never seen anything like it. And then Diana, you know, in those cat suits, you know, that she had, you know, which was really in competition with Julie Newmar on Batman, right? but Diana was like, you were just not going to mess with her.
Emma Peel, I do hate the name. Oh, talk about cliché. But anyway, Emma Peel was way ahead of her time. And the reason for that was that originally it was two fellows. It was Patrick McNee and another actor whose name escapes me. And he dropped out and Honor Blackman took over and they didn't change the script. The only frustrating part about it was the suit was, oh God, it was uncomfortable. And it took me a good half hour to go to the lavatory, getting out of that thing, you know, peeling it off. I'm very grateful to it.
Before she fought baddies, she fought for equality.
I found out I was earning less than the cameraman, and I said, just wait a minute.
hello. And suddenly I emerged as this rather mercenary creature who'd said it's not good enough. But sure enough, you know, the salary went up, and as the salary went up, so you were treated with more respect.
She was nominated for 2 Emmys for her performance as Mrs. Emma Peel over 52 episodes. The attention came flooding in, and to attempt to divert the mania, she had her mother, Beryl, reply to the fan mail. When young men wrote letters filled with inappropriate adoration, she would write, "Those aren't very nice thoughts. And besides, my daughter is too old for you. I suggest take a run around the block." Meanwhile, a group of gay men in America presented her with a scroll declaring that she was the woman they would most likely go straight for. Comedian and actress Eddie Izzard said in an earlier interview, "Dame Diana's portrayal of Mrs. Emma Peel was a true inspiration for her work."
Well, Emma Peel was probably the first icon that came along and took...
She was the first strong woman, wasn't she?
Yeah, and she started kicking and punching, and she looked sexy at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
And I sort of want to be in that same area, but it's kind of in a skirt.
And though she wasn't always comfortable being a sex icon, she was very comfortable talking about how important sex is to people.
I would find your dismissal of something that I needed as much as I needed food not charitable.
Diana's sights were set much higher. She didn't want to be pigeonholed in a catsuit the rest of her career. Theater will always be Diana's first love.
I just love doing it. But, I mean, there are occasions when it becomes... I discovered that Lady Macbeth was a great bore to do.
Yes.
Actually. And at one point, the director had Dennis Quilley sliding his hand down the front of my bodice and massaging a breast. And it was a matinee, it must have been. And I muttered to him under my breath, "Down a bit, left a bit, right a bit." Golden shot.
It was only a matter of time before she would break into the big screen.
No sign of him yet.
Or of someone saying thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. You've got sharp eyes and beautiful earlobes.
Watching on Her Majesty's Secret Service, which was, you know, when George Lazenby took over for Sean Connery in the James Bond series of films, I just never realized how really beautiful she was. And what she brought to that film as a character was monumental in the history of Bond, because it brought dimension to that series. I thought she was cool. And then the full package of it all, of who she was, you know, striving for female empowerment, being a pioneer in female empowerment, with just making sure she got paid equally, you know, on the Avengers. I mean, who did that? You know, it was just a guy's world for so long in Hollywood.
You're full of surprises, Contessa.
So are you, Mr. Bond. Do you always arm yourself for rendezvous?
Occasionally, I seem to be accident prone. I'll take that if you don't mind.
You're very sure of yourself, aren't you? Suppose I were to kill you for a thrill.
I can think of something more sociable to do.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The only woman to make 007 an honest man is legendary in its own right. But it hardly cemented the Hollywood success she had hoped for. Her favorite film to make was a camp Hammer horror film with Vincent Price. Theater of Blood.
Inspector, are you saying that some lunatic in the theater might be trying to kill us all?
The play fails. Career's ruined. Plenty of motivation there, should we?
We therefore commit his body to the ground.
At last, the headlines.
She could do it all. Classic, farce, comedy. Risk-taking is where Diana thrived. And when a critic criticized her figure after she performed a nude scene on stage, she used her stinging wit.
She did that book about, what was it, No Stone Unturned, ultimately gathering all of her reviews or critiques through the years, which I thought was pretty phenomenal.
I think every actor who's truly honest remembers their worst notice, because it actually carves itself on your soul. You live with it for weeks before you finally exorcise the pain of it. And this was a gentleman in New York writing about the nude scene in Abelard and Eloise. And he said, Diana Rigg is built like a brick mausoleum with insufficient flying buttresses.
She came back and she wrote this book. And she's like, I really don't give a flying fig what you think. You might think I do, but I'm going to one-up you. So.
We all have breasts and we all have penises and we all have bodies in common, and that is not the most precious thing that we possess. The most precious thing that we possess are our personalities and our spirits. And I think that from the Victorian era onwards, too much emphasis has been placed on covering your body. I think to trust each other and to love each other sufficiently to show our spirits is infinitely more important.
Before the world of social media, she Twittered, the entire world with that, with that book. And it was a genius move. Typical genius move.
Diana became a strong symbol of fierce femininity. So much so that television writer Leonard Stern developed a sitcom based on her stage persona. Diana was a show about a divorced British fashion designer who recently relocates to New York City. After only one season, the show was canceled.
I think the one disappointment that she had as an actress was the sitcom Diana, which premiered on NBC in like 71. She was devastated when that show was canceled by NBC. It was supposed to be, I guess, NBC's answer to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, because it's very similar. Even her hair was cut like Mary Richards in the third season. She was devastated when that show ended. So I think that really hurt her, because you're talking her return to TV. So I think maybe we were looking, as TV watchers then, for her to come back in an action adventure series like The Avengers. If she's coming back to TV, then what is she going to do? Like, Wonder Woman? No, she does a sitcom. And people are like, what? So I don't know. I think not only did we not understand it as viewers or accept it, but I don't think the show was all that well crafted. And back in the day, if you didn't make it after three episodes, you were gone. It was very, very competitive TV programming at the time. Today, would have made it because the show would have had time to develop, find its voice, which any new show needs time to develop. But that show was not given a shot, and it really hurt her.
Diana was married twice before she tied the knot with theatrical producer Archibald Sterling.
You can have permanent companionship outside marriage. I think the mistake is to think that there are, I mean, I don't want to dictate to people. You living outside marriage with somebody can be a marriage, but simply without the ceremony, that's all.
Before their nuptials, they had a daughter, Rachel. Dame Diana broke the mold again, at a time when the stereotypical future for a young woman was to gain an education, hook a husband, and start a family young. Diana was conquering the world. She didn't become a mother until she was 38 years old. She has said repeatedly that her daughter was the greatest achievement of her life.
Over the age of 25, they call you elderly. I had a wonderful time, and I drank champagne from the morning till night. I couldn't have been healthier. And came the baby, and it's just the most joyous thing in the world. The first time I pushed her out in the street, pram, deep pride, here she is. And a man walking along the street, and he recognized me, and he burst out laughing. Because just me and a pram seemed to him utterly wrong. And I was so cross. I'm not on that treadmill anymore. I used to be. And I quite like being at home and biting my daughter's bottom.
Well, she actually gave up your career, in a sense, to bring up your child.
I did. I don't regret that.
You don't? You don't?
It was the best thing in the world. Being at the school gates when they tumble out of school, being there for the sports day, being there for the play, being there for the school concert, where, you know, the wonderful kind of stumbling, you know she's not going to get through the piece.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have missed that for the world.
In 1987... she made her comeback as the lead in the musical Follies. In the early 90s, she gave award-worthy performances in productions of Medea, Mother Courage, and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? She had the power to keep audiences on the edge of their seats, but her greatest weakness was keeping a straight face on stage.
And I was in a play with Leslie Caron called Ondine about a mermaid who comes out of the river and falls in love with the prince, takes human form. And I had to lean out of a window and try and allure the prince away from Ondine. And Prince was played by Richard Johnson, a very handsome man. He had his back to the audience and he would look up at me and he had on his face kind of like, are you out of your mind? Not in a million years. And so I started laughing and I was called down to Miss Karen's dressing room. And she said, Diana, I hear you are laughing on stage. And I said, yes, Miss Karen, I'm terribly sorry. It's a weakness of mine. She said, I had the same weakness. I cured myself. Think of something sad. Think of being fired.
Diana was honored with the title of Dame in 1994. That didn't mean that she suddenly became ultra serious. She relished in comedic performances alongside Daniel Radcliffe in The Extras and in The Detectorists with her daughter, Rachel Sterling. She had a gift of making her colleagues feel comfortable when they were all working together.
And she let me off set. And on the way back to our trailer, she said, do you drink wine? And I said, oh, well, not when I'm working. She said, oh, come on, just come in and have a small one. So she sort of dragged me into her trailer and poured us both a huge glass of wine. And I was quite nervous about it. It's the first day of shooting. It's the first time I met Diana. I certainly didn't want to drink before my first scene. She said, now tell me all about yourself. And I thought, oh God, it's going to be a grilling, isn't it? I said, I'm from Doncaster. And she said, I'm from Doncaster. And I said, what? She said, I'm from Doncaster. I said, what do you mean you're from Doncaster? It seemed to be sort of like, I'm Spartacus. What are you talking about? You're not from Doncaster. You're Dame Diana Rigg. You're like landed gentry or something. She said, yes, I was born in Doncaster and we lived in... And she named a street that was about a quarter of a mile from where I grew up. And I thought, have I drunk this glass of wine already? Having set out to quiz me and tell me all about yourself, I think the only thing Diana found out about me at all was that I was born in Doncaster.
Diana had worked with some of the greatest talent Hollywood and the UK had to offer. Of course, aspiring young talent would be chomping at the bit to get her feedback. And she was prepared for that.
She'd either sweep you along with her or she'd sweep everything she didn't like out of her way. At the at a read-through for one of the episodes, everybody gathers. There's quite a large group of people gather and you read through the script for this episode. And then when you finish the read-through, everybody leaves apart from a few people, and then you have a little sort of bit of rehearsal where you read through it a couple of times and you discuss it. So everybody left after the read-through, and the only people left, I think, were me and Diana and the director and the producer and the writer and one other actor who was the kind of guest of the week, guest star of the week. And as we were about to start working on some scenes with him, he said, oh, I just had a couple of ideas about this one scene, my first scene, and I just jotted down a few thoughts. And he reached out into his bag and he pulled out six typed rewrites of the scene stapled together, and he said, I think I've got enough for everybody here. And he sort of handed around the table and everybody looked at each other thinking, what are you doing? I'd never before and never since have I seen such a thing where an actor turns up to the read-through with a rewritten scene and then hands them out to the director, the producer and the actual writer. But the And I thought, being the least senior person in the room, I thought, oh, this is interesting. I can just sit here and see how does everybody handle this? What's going to happen here? Because you can't have the actors turning up saying, oh, I'm going to rewrite my scenes to give myself a bigger, better part sort of thing. I thought, oh, this would be interesting how they deal with this. Well, what's the dynamics here of what do HR do now in coping with this sort of thing? And so anyway, the director playing for time, I think, said, OK, well, yes. Oh, well, that's marvellous. That's wonderful. Yes, let's read the scene. So we read the scene and it had, the centre of gravity of the scene had shifted rather enormously, as you might expect, towards this actor who'd rewritten the scene for himself. And the director said, oh, well, that's great. That's good. Thank you. And I thought, oh, come on, then. Come on, who's going to deal with this? Because this needs to be nipped in the bud. And there was a pause. And Diana stepped in and said, oh, darling, it is wonderful. I love your writing. It's the most beautiful work. You really should be a writer. You are a writer, darling. It's absolutely wonderful. I'm just so sorry that these days, you see, I have to learn the whole script before we start filming. Otherwise, I just cannot remember it anymore. The old brain just won't do it anymore. So I have to learn the whole thing. And if I start trying to change things and learn the new stuff, I just couldn't. I would be just lost, darling. And I'm so sorry, because your new scene is wonderful, isn't it, everybody? It's really wonderful. But I'm afraid it's simply not possible to change a word of the script that we've already got. I'm so sorry, but you are a genius. And everybody sort of had a sigh of relief and a bit of a smirk. And the actor involved kind of went, oh, Diana, well, I'm so, well, thank you. It's so, well, I'm so sorry to hear you come. But yes, of course, I quite understand. And thank you. So he was completely mollified and very flattered by the fact that Diana had told him he was a wonderful, wonderful writer. And we sort of put his script away again without having to engage with it any further. But again, I thought, what a brilliantly classy woman. She's completely stopped him in his tracks, whilst also making him feel like he's 10 feet tall and that he's actually the new Harold Pinch or something.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Neil Dudgeon said the best moments of Dame Diana were the silly ones.
She was always very sort of sympathetic. I had a lot of trouble with the car in that. I drove an old Rolls Royce as a chauffeur, and there was a lot of trouble with the car, which she always found. She found it very funny whenever I stalled the car or bunny hopped it into a scene or something like that. And whenever I got very cross with it and swore tremendously at the car and the whole ludicrousness of me trying to drive this undrivable machine, she'd keep a straight face to the end until they said cut, and then she'd scream with laughter and a great throaty laugh. Oh, darling, oh, he's so marvellous, isn't he? He keeps going, he keeps trying to do it, but it's impossible. No, darling, well, no, well done, isn't he marvellous? She was so good. She'd find it hilarious and be very lovely and supportive at the same time, which again made it, you know, made it a lot of fun to work with her. She wasn't at all, she wasn't at all the kind of, oh, I'm a terribly serious actor, or I'm doing a terribly serious part, and I must remain in character, and I must remain serious because of what I'm doing. It was like she was having a great time, and I think we had a lovely time together. I certainly had a very lovely time with her, and as I say, I rather adored her. She was great.
Diana knew the importance of work-life balance, not just hers, but the team around her.
She told us in the schedule that we wouldn't be filming on this bank holiday Monday, so we'd have a long weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then they came to us at some point in filming and said, oh, sadly, next Monday, we can't have the bank holiday off. We're going to have to film because we've got a bit better. I think we heard about this on the makeup trailer, and she got up and on her way out, she said, send the producer to my trailer. Which, again, as a very humble artiste, I thought, this is brilliant. Send the producer to my trailer like a human sacrifice. So she went off to her trailer. And then I hung around outside and I saw this rather sheepish, frightened-looking producer, this gentleman, going into her trailer. And about 5 minutes later, he came out looking even more sheepish and made a little announcement saying, well, I'm happy to tell you that I've had a little bit of a rethink about having to work on Monday, and I've decided that we are going to have the day off on Monday because we're all working jolly hard, and I think if I rejig the schedule a little bit, we can still manage. So, hurrah! I've decided we're all going to still have the bank holiday Monday off, and that, you know, goodbye. And he slunk away, and I saw Diana later. I said, what happened? What did you say to the producer? She said, I told him that I had been promised the bank holiday Monday off, and because of that, I had arranged to go fishing on the River Test. And I said to him that you can film on Monday if you want, but I'm going fucking fishing, so you can fuck off. And then he left. And again, I thought, oh, how marvellous. This poor producer didn't know what he was up against and had no idea. And for Diana, it was just, no, I'm not doing that. I'm in charge here. You'll have to do, you can do what you want, but I'm doing what I want. She was, again, a great heroine of the people.
Retirement wasn't an option. She was doing what she loved, and people loved watching her. She continued to woo new generations as Lady Olenna Tyrell in Game of Thrones. She was nominated for Emmys, and she again couldn't walk down the street without being stopped.
Okay. Well, she's an old bag, isn't she? I mean, she's evil and naughty, and she survived long after everybody else gets killed off in one way or another. It's rather interesting when I meet people who see it, and or the people who don't see it, and the people who see it are obviously interested in incest and sodomy and all the sexual permutations.
All the intrigues.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great for that, isn't it? And also limbs being chopped off and all sorts of
stuff.
Well,
it's violent, it's full on, it's sexual, and it's also
But it's witty as well, which is what I love about it. And I walk into this whorehouse, which has been trashed, and I'm surrounded by bits of dildo. Because they decided that dildos in those times were made with clay. So they're sort of kind of bits of clay dildo everywhere. And I thought, this is rather nice. I could have a photograph taken and use it in my next birthday card.
Her final performance was in the psychological horror film Last Night in Soho.
A nice police lady came round asking questions about you. About your well-being. Welfare check, she called it. Had me worried. You've been saying a girl died up there.
Sorry.
Oh, it's funny, because
There is some truth in it. I hadn't thought about it until you brought it up, but the girl did die up there, I suppose.
In March 2020, Dame Diana Rigg was diagnosed with cancer. And in September, she passed away.
In fact, I worked with Rachel Sterling shortly after Diana died, and on our first day of filming, I thought Rachel must get sick of this. I don't think I've met Rachel at that stage. I thought, yeah, Rachel must get sick of this. I don't want to, you know, go up to her and say, "Oh, hello, Rachel. I'm Neil. I'm so sorry to hear about your mum." Is that, you know, that she's constantly her mother's daughter, and that I thought, don't go straight in with that. And of course, the first time I saw her around the unit base on her first day of filming, I went, "Rachel, hello, I'm Neil." I said, "Oh God, I so loved your mum. I'm so sorry, but she's gone." And da da da. And I kind of, you know, I think I probably burst into tears, and we had a little hug and all that sort of thing. But yeah, she was very kindly said that, you know, that Diana had thought warmly of me and had had a nice time working with me, and I was very pleased to hear it because she was, well, as I've said, she was great. She was great fun. She was great fun to work with, and brilliant, of course, just in terms of the work, she was brilliant. But kind of a bit of an education for me as well was being at her elbow throughout all the various ups and downs of this shoot and all the trials and tribulations of the shooting, and to see how she dealt with it and coped with it and led the company through it was great. She was an education for me as well as a great pleasure.
Herbie J. Pilato's book, One Tough Dame, The Life and Career of Diana Rigg, is available for purchase from September 16th, 2024. Next time on A Life Lived.
Now, Rick would come on, I believe, in his Kevin Turvey character, which was this weird guy in a raincoat who was kind of like a nerd, sort of, how would one see it now? But it was very visceral. It was like he would come on and he would just wait and the audience would go mad. They would just go crazy for him. And he'd go, "What? What?" like that. And it would be kind of quite animal. And everyone loved it. And it would just continue this kind of very minimal performing, but knowing. And people couldn't get enough of it. So whatever he'd done, this weird character had just chimed because his content was satirical and offered recognition, but it was kind of clowny, extreme, weirdy, and just people ready for it, couldn't get enough.
Comedian and author Helen Lederer talks about how a bunch of young outcasts forged the alternative comedy movement with her friend, the punk comic icon, Rick Mayall. This is an Audio Boom production by Breaking Stereotypes. This production was presented and executive produced by me, Stephanie Okupniak. To listen to all episodes of A Life Lived, you can follow us on podfollow.com/A Life Lived to link us to wherever you listen to your podcasts. If there is an icon that you would like to know more about, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle @A Life Lived or @A Life Lived Podcast. You can also email us at podcastalifelived@gmail.com.
Time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.